This is James Throgmorton, and today I want to speak about the times in which we live. I'll primarily be in the third chapter of 2 Timothy. You know, when you watch the news today, it's absolutely frightening. When you look at the world, when you look at what's been going on in Greece and Egypt and all the Middle Eastern countries, and now we've seen it come to Ephraim's territory. In England and all that's going on in London, then in the United States things are beginning to happen. And people, you know, ask why. It's actually very depressing and frightening to watch the news today. I sort of have to limit myself a little bit because if you get too much of it, it just gets overbearing because it is pure unadulterated evil. And we're seeing that more and more. The book of Revelation talks about a time when Satan the devil would see that his time was short and would come down with great wrath. Now, I'm not saying that that time is here, but I'll say it's getting very close. The Apostle Paul, in the third chapter, as he was instructing young Timothy about how to take up Paul's ministry, and after Paul had left the scene, after he had been martyred and rejected, a lot of people fail to realize that about Paul and these apostles, that by the end of their life, nearly everybody had abandoned them because the devil and apostasy had taken over the church of God. That's what the books of Jude, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are all about. They're about the apostasy and the falling away from the truth. Now, in this day and age, people in the church sort of cling to the fact that they have all the truth, and it's interesting that that's one of the things that we see in the book of Revelation about the church, is that there would come a time when everybody would be saying, we're rich and increased and have need of nothing. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't need anything. We no longer need to repent. We no longer need to prove all things. We have it all. That's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the end product of pride, and it will destroy. Well, let's look at what Paul looked into the future, into the last days, really the last days. But of course, in Paul's tenure, and as he was turning this over to Timothy, and we have no record of what Timothy did, what happened to the church. We know that it didn't survive because God says you get too self-righteous, you get spewed out of his mouth. He's ready to do it. He will do it without if you don't repent. Let's just read about the perilous times that Paul talked about and maybe soberly look at the situation in our own time and in the days ahead. For know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times. And it lists why. It doesn't list the foundational truths that we're so fortunate to have been taught and revealed, the truths that have been revealed to us by God through His Spirit. It doesn't talk about them. Paul talks about something else that has to do with base, raw human carnality. Because that's the thing that really destroys. It's the thing that will destroy. Just like in the last sermon that I put online, I talked about what happened to ancient Israel and how Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel and he couldn't do it, and because God wouldn't allow it. And yet there's people today that still want to curse God's people, think that they have somehow the great intelligence to be able to curse somebody that God has already blessed. Well, Balaam understood he couldn't do that. But he understood that they could do it to themselves, that Israel could curse themselves. And that's true of people today. People in the Church of God, and that's what their raw, brute, blunt carnality can cause them to curse themselves and to actually go back into captivity. People look at captivity as armies coming, but that can happen, and that may happen. But you can go back into captivity by losing the Spirit of God, by quenching the Spirit. And that's what this is talking about. For men will be lovers of themselves. Now, as we look at society, and I'm talking about just human society, not people that are converted or have had the opportunity for conversion, but we can see society today. Lovers of themselves. You know, I've seen some of these people interviewed in Philadelphia and in London, and they think they deserve everything without having to work. You know, there's 50% of the American people that don't pay taxes, everybody pays some taxes, but that don't have to pay income tax at all, and they expect everybody else to support them. Now, I'm not talking about people that have legitimately earned their pensions and their retirement and things like that. I'm talking about people that are just don't work. Most of these rioters on the street are young people, lovers of money. You know, that's one I heard one interviewed that he said, we're going to show the police and the rich people what we can do. And it was a process of kicking in a window, and they were stealing flat screen TVs and everything else. Boasters. People like to boast about how spiritual they are sometimes. And these people boast about, they seem to think that they have knowledge greater than anybody else. Proud. Well, I talked about pride and the fact that it will lead to self-righteousness. In fact, they're two things are entwined. You can't hardly separate them. Pride really leads to self-righteousness. And pride is the thing that destroyed Lucifer and made him become Satan, make him become a liar. Blasphemers, to actually teach against or declare against the things that are of God, to be anti-God, to blaspheme God. You know, the word's been overused. There's several words that have been overused that have been used so much that by false religion and everything and even what the Jews of Christ's time, his peers, said about him, they would, you know, people have a tendency to use the word blasphemy anytime they don't agree with somebody. But it's not a matter of agreeing with me or anybody else. It's a matter of when you disagree with God, then that's blasphemy. When you disagree with something God has set in motion, something that God is doing, that is blasphemy. Disobedient to parents. Do I need to say any more about that? Watch the news. Look at what is taking place. The parents have no control over these young people. And they're not all young people, but the young people are the ones that are physically able to get out there and cause the big problems. There's plenty of older people that have got the same thing. Then, unthankful. Now, that's something that in this society, and I know I've lived quite a few years, and I know how different society is today than it was 50, 60 years ago. People are no longer hospitable, and they're no longer thankful. They do not appreciate anything. The more you do for people, the more they want, the more they expect. I've learned this the hard way, that eventually, and it's hard to keep from doing when you see somebody in need, but the more you help people, they will eventually come to hate and despise you. And that's a fact. Christ warned us that. He said, do your alms in secret. And that's true. You need to do that as much as you can. But people are unthankful. They don't appreciate, they're unthankful for God. They don't appreciate the truth they've been given and the opportunity they've been given. That opportunity can be withdrawn. In fact, it has been withdrawn down through history. And we can see that in the New Testament. Unholy. You know, the word holy is so misused. It's again another one of these religious terms that's misused. And a lot of people don't understand what holy is. They think it's an emotion or something. It's got a real simple definition. It simply means for God's purpose. And so if you're doing something that's contrary or against God's purpose, you know, there's some things that we need to realize. And I've got a new article that we put online this morning that talks about that a little bit. Measly human beings cannot break covenants that God has made with his people. Nobody can break the covenant God made with Abraham. Nobody can break the covenant that God made with the 10 tribes and the Jews. The Jews have kept the Sabbath covenant. And if they've kept it, you know God doesn't break his word. That covenant is still binding. Israel will be punished under the terms of the old covenant. Whether you like that or not, the old covenant is still in effect, and they will be punished under the terms till they come back to God. In fact, I'd challenge anybody that listens to this, make a covenant with God right now. Start keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, and you will have an identifying sign that identifies you to the Creator God. You start keeping that seventh-day Sabbath for 24 hours every week. And you'll do that because that's God's promise, that it's a sign between me and you. You don't have to have some magic word. Nobody has to say anything to you. Nobody has to do anything. You just do it. I challenge you. Unloving. We see that. And that just goes right along with anybody that loves themselves. They're not going to love anybody else. They're just unloving. If you're all wrapped up in yourself and what's in your mind, and your mind can lie to you. It can really lie to you. Unforgiving. You know, everybody has a lot of things that happen to them that are bad, and people do things, but by being unforgiving, now that doesn't mean you compromise with evil or wrong, or you don't compromise with a false doctrine. You don't do that, because you'll have to answer to God for that. But human beings' shortcomings, you need to be forgiving. Something else that people are, and boy, we see this in politics. Boy, do you ever see it in religion. Slanderers, people without self-control, brutal. We can see the brutality going on in the streets around us, but then just plain brutal. Despisers of good, to try to make evil appear good. You know, you do good for people and people hate you for it. Traitors. People don't understand what that term means. In fact, there's a scripture that I've seen bother a lot of people, but it was talking to King Saul. It says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The people that rebelled against Paul and James and John and Peter and the apostle committed the same apostles committed the same sin that Saul did, the same sin that Satan the devil did. They rebelled against God's authority. Headstrong, bullheaded, haughty. Sort of the same thing. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Prefer to do your thing on the Sabbath instead of what God says. Or to do your thing so you feel good about yourself. In fact, I would refer anybody back to the sermon that's already online. And those of you that I mailed the CDs to, you can look back at that sermon. Have we learned anything yet? It was the title of the sermon. And I pretty well got the answer to it already. The answer is no, we didn't learn anything. lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Just doing your own thing, going on with your own life. And we all have to do that, and all of us want to do that. You know, it's nice to be alive, but it's actually nicer to be alive and understand some about God's plan and understand what God is doing and be able to look around in this world right now and see the things that Almighty God is doing and fulfilling prophecy right now. And it's happening if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Having a form of godliness, going to church, going through the ceremony. In fact, I covered that in that last sermon. Having a form of godliness, saying your prayers, praying for the sick, all these things that are not wrong. They're things we should do, but people do it basically from their old Western pagan Christianity, Protestantism primarily in this country. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power, denying that God is in control, and that some of the things that he might do might not agree with your philosophy. And the Bible plainly says, from such people turn away. You know, when somebody comes with a false doctrine, as a minister, I'll try to teach them. I'll try to explain to them. But when they reject it, I'll walk away. Because God says, to receive them not, nor to bid them Godspeed. Don't say God bless you, because you'll be going against God. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And this scripture probably sort of bothers people, but, you know, sometimes women can be gullible, and the ones that we presume here that it's probably referring as at least in type to prostitution, and that's comparable when people turn away from God and go to their own religions or the world's religion or their previous Protestantism. When they do that, it's like going down to the red light district. The same thing. Women that are gullible, or they wouldn't be doing that. And if you patronize them, you're just as gullible as they are. Always learning. You know, I've experienced this in my tenure in the ministry. I've taught a lot of ministry. I've taught a lot of, trained a lot of leaders. Some of them were really fantastic students. They loved the truth. Unfortunately, the majority of them, not all of them, I've taught a lot of people that have died very much faithfully in the faith. But some of them have turned away. Turn back to fable. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Never able to really get a grasp on what was important. Never able to get a grasp on what God was really doing. They thought about what they wanted God to do, not what God was actually doing. And there's a big difference. A vast difference. It's what you think God's doing is what will entrap you. Never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, the book of Hebrews in the 6th chapter tells us about the basic doctrines of Christ, and then it challenges us to go on to perfection. Then in verse 8, it talks about Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. These were the Egyptian magicians. And it said, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. You know, it's interesting that apparently these two guys went on the Exodus and went out with Moses. God allowed that. God let Satan be in the Garden of Eden. God let Satan's representatives go on the Exodus. That actually helped cause the people of the Exodus to turn against God, to rebel against Moses and Miriam, to rebel against God's appointed leadership. God allowed them to go. Jesus Christ allowed Judas to come to the Passover. He probably left before the bread and wine, but it doesn't really definitely say that. Christ washed his feet. He allowed him to be there. It's no different today. God still allows Satan's cohorts, and sometimes the spirit of Satan, the devil himself, to come in and destroy the church. It happened in early days. It still happens. And if you're some of the people out that the main ones that are going to be listening to what I say from the CDs we mail out and this and that, unfortunate in a way that you don't have brethren to assemble with, but there may be a blessing to that, that you won't be as prone to be exposed to the agents that the devil might just place in your midst, because God allows that, because God tests us. You know, down through the years, we've said, and I've said so many times, and it's so important, prove all things, hold fast that is true. And you have to prove it not from just one or two scriptures in the Bible. You have to prove it from the Bible and from history. And you have to approach it with a measure of humility towards God. You know, something else that in the things that Paul had to say, talking about these two magicians, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. And we don't know. Bible doesn't record, even tradition doesn't tell us, I'm talking about historical tradition, doesn't tell us what may have happened to these fellows. They may have been in on Korah's rebellion. You know, God takes care of those things, and he doesn't need to tell us. We don't have a need to know of what happens. We just need to have what's written in the Bible here. But here's what Paul tells Timothy. And Paul does the same thing that he does very often. In fact, Paul is the one apostle that does that. I think you can understand it a little bit from Paul's perspective, because Paul knew what he did to persecute the church. And Paul is always telling people more than they probably need to know, and certainly more than they want to know necessarily, to establish his own credentials, because I don't think sometimes Paul actually could believe, even right up to the end of his ministry hardly, I think he had to reconfirm that to himself. And I can understand that he had to reconfirm his ministry, and he does that with Timothy here a little bit. He tells Timothy, "But you have carefully followed my doctrines." He says my doctrine, my teachings. That's all the word doctrine means. In fact, I'm going to give an online sermon or an article on the website about that subject before too long. You have carefully followed my teachings, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. All the things that are exactly opposite of what Paul just got through telling Timothy. All the things that are exactly opposite. And then, what was the results of Paul's life, purpose, faith, long-sufferance, love, perseverance, his service to the church? Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to be at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecutions. People will falsely accuse you. They'll make a hate list. I've seen that happen so many times. I've been in the ministry a long time that when somebody comes with a hate list against somebody, I know where it came from. God's Spirit does not do that. So we live in perilous times, terrible times. Satan has already done a frontal attack on the Church of God in the first century, and we've lived to see it happen in this day and age. It's happened all again. It's not over, but God's not through. God's still working. In fact, I will ask all of you that have access online to look at the article that we posted this morning about what God, some of the things that God is doing in this present age. And if you have ears to hear, listen. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.